Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, we're going to continue on with the segment here with the regards to what's going to happen in the upcoming legislative session. I do want to point out real quick, though, we have that this horrible breaking news story out of Michigan. There's no updates. I just wanted you guys to know that I'm still tracking it, making sure. But we've had several students killed and a number of others injured, including one teacher in a high school shooting there in Oxford, Michigan, north of Detroit. And they did arrest the 15-year-old teenage suspect. They believe he was acting alone. But it's a horrible situation. And our northern states have been facing some real tragedies here of late with Waukesha, Wisconsin, and now Oxford, Michigan. So we'll keep you posted if we see something new on that. But anyway, that's the breaking news story that we talked about just earlier on the show. Hey, listen, what I want to do right now, though, I'm going to shift gears. Number two on the Triple Dipper is where we are today. We are talking about what's going to happen in the upcoming legislative session. And I said in the last segment here, just before we went to the break, that we're coming back to talk to my friend, State Representative Connie Rowe. Connie is a member of the House of Representatives. She's served down there since 2014. She had a career in law enforcement prior to that, working as both an investigator for the DA's office in Walker County, as well as being the police chief in Jasper before she was elected to the House of Representatives. And she is soon to be a senior advisor to the Lieutenant Governor, Will Ainsworth. And so I'm glad to have her on the line right now. Hey, Connie Rowe, how you doing today? Do I have a Connie Rowe?
Because, we follow that. We follow that as parents. We follow that as, and I have a terrible echo, and it is because I'm talking to you on my car audio. Yeah. So let me swap up.
Yeah, right, Connie, take it off Bluetooth, because that'll make a huge echo if you're on Bluetooth. So go ahead and jump off that Bluetooth real quick.
I did, and it's still not acting right here now. How's that?
That's good. Good on your end, I hope.
Yeah. I've got a little bit of a feedback, but that's okay. I can continue to talk. But anyway, thank you for the update on the school shooting. Because as people, as parents, people who are in education and law enforcement, we all listen to those and watch those circumstances and very carefully hope that it never comes to our neighborhood. But we have no choice but to be prepared for the potential of that as it has grown, something that we've had to grow so accustomed to in this country.
I'm assuming, too, Connie, and I'll take an aside here before we talk about politics, but with your time in law enforcement, I imagine that some of the school shootings that rocked the nation occurred probably during your time or your tenure as a police chief or at least in law enforcement, and y'all had to go through all of the planning and the making sure you had the plans on hand for the schools in case you had an active shooter situation, and it kind of changed the dynamic a bit for us, didn't it?
It absolutely did. Sandy Hook occurred shortly after I became police chief in Jasper. That was in 2011. And I just recall that all of a sudden you had to think in completely different terms, is that, hey, this doesn't happen every now and then. This is becoming a regular thing. And you have a responsibility and a duty to be prepared for things, even if they never happen. You still carry the weight of being prepared to deal with a circumstances as such.
Yeah, well, thank you for your years of service there, as well as to your service of the state. And hey, listen, let me switch gears on you. Got you on the show today so we can talk about the upcoming regular session. We're about a month out-ish, 5 weeks maybe, from you guys going into session, I believe. And one of the things that gets me concerned sometimes is not seeing an agenda, not seeing a platform of things that those in the majority intend to do jointly as House and Senate. And I'm wondering, first of all, is there an agenda that's been published at this point that the public can see that you guys intend to accomplish during the next legislative session?
Well, I know in the House of Representatives there was a platform committee selected, and that they have assembled what I understand to be a very aggressive, I should say assertive, political agenda for a platform agenda for this final year of the quadrennium. You know, a lot of times we see not a lot of action during an election year because it's time to get reelected. But I was not on the platform committee. I have some friends who were. I know they met and worked on several occasions. I know they followed some polling of Republicans in picking and choosing some of the things that they went after. And I've seen a copy of it. Of course, it's not my place to release that, you know, today. I'm sure
come on.
Release it.
You can do it right here on the show. You can do it. Tell us.
Well, you know, let's talk in general terms about what are the things that are important to Republicans in the state of Alabama. One of them, of course, is critical race theory. One of them is broadband. One of them has to do with our Second Amendment rights. There are several of those things that are just obvious, good, positive choices that I believe are going to be addressed in the platform for House Republicans.
That's House Republicans. One of the things that concerns me sometimes is you see the House Republicans come out with their agenda, the Senate Republicans come out with a different agenda, and you just kind of hope they can find some common ground once the session gets started. Do you see any joint platforms coming out?
I do not. I don't think that I had a conversation with a member of the Senate earlier today, and they were talking about several of the things that senators have on their minds. And at some point, not yet, I think they too will release an agenda for the upcoming session. It would have to, in some shape, form, or fashion, mirror what's going on in the House downstairs. Since they have similar interests, similar constituencies, I'm sure that some of them will be the same. I have no idea what the Senate's going to come out with. I think that the second amendment bill, that constitutional carry that has been pushed, I think that it absolutely hits the floor of the House. I would be surprised, because the Senate has passed it on several occasions in the last 7 years, and it couldn't get through the House. But I think it clears the House this time. I think I would be shocked if it didn't clear the Senate as well.
Well, I think that would be huge. I mean, your time in law enforcement, you know, the Sheriff's Association is what usually lobbies the hardest against that bill, because it does affect their ability to collect concealed carry permit fees. So do you see it getting past that type of a lobbying interest?
Well, I think that what you have to do, and of course I come from the law enforcement community, as we've discussed, and I can promise you that the ability of a police officer to hold someone if they do not have a pistol permit comes in handy sometimes. It's absolutely an investigation and an enforcement tool that's used by all of law enforcement. And yes, many sheriffs across the state of Alabama have a fiduciary gain for their departments as a result of selling those. So they do oppose those on those rights. If you put all of that aside and you look at the fact that your right to bear arms is something that's guaranteed to you in the Constitution, and that you cannot charge money in order for someone to exercise that right, then it makes it a really clear choice.
I agree.
It is very difficult for sheriff's departments who struggle for the ability to have funds for their departments to do things like provide school resource officers, tactical teams, critical incident teams. I mean, I absolutely get that. I've run a law enforcement budget. I've run a department with 66 sworn folks in it. I understand that. But it would be justifying charging money to citizens to exercise any other right they are guaranteed by the Constitution. And if you apply it in other circumstances, it just sounds ridiculous. But it's been done for a long time. It's been an accepted practice for a long time. It's something that folks are comfortable with. Certainly, sheriff's departments have leaned on that funding. It'll cost some jobs in sheriff's departments, and you have to think about that. But
So, Connie, let me jump in though, and okay. I think that bill certainly has merit. I voted for it when I was in the Senate. But let me ask you this: on other topics, before we hit our first break, because we got a couple of 3 minutes here for our first break. I just want to ask you, is there anything that you know of in the platform? Because Senator Arthur Orr is one of those who's advocating for a tax cut bill of some type. Or is there anything for school choice? Because those two issues are polling extremely high, and those are definitely conservative red meat issues. Do you see anything on either one of those, tax cuts or school choice?
I have not seen anything from the Senate, but I would be shocked if Senator Del Marsh did not bring a school choice bill. He has historically, for as long as I've been in the legislature, and did prior to that. So I don't know that he's going to bring one, but I would be shocked if he didn't.
As far as the tax cut,
I have not heard any conversation of a specific proposal for any kind of tax cut or anything along those lines.
So I'll just tell you, Connie, right now, Florida Governor DeSantis is calling on the legislature to repeal portions of their gas tax. Kansas Democrat governor is calling on a repeal of their grocery tax. We're one of only three states in the nation that even taxes groceries. And those kind of things would impact even the poorest in our society. I mean, everybody in the world would benefit from something that related to those two things if that's all you did. And we got record revenues right now in Alabama. So wouldn't there be a possibility of giving something back, even if it were temporary to some degree?
I think it's a fantastic idea. I had the pleasure for 6 years to sit next to a House member named Matt Friday from Shelby County.
Oh, yeah.
Every year he crafted a bill that had to do with doing away with the taxes on groceries. And so my familiarity with that subject in particular comes from being his seatmate and listening to him and reading the bills that he proposed. And he put a great deal of work into it and just did some really yeoman's work, labor on that issue. It couldn't get any ground because, you know, it impacted what money is assigned to the educational trust fund. And those folks don't want to give up a dime of that because they fear that although it's high now, that it will sink and fall low at some point in the future. And they just don't want to give up anything that is designated to go into that pool of money.
That's the case. I mean, we have the problem right now of the fact that the teachers union is being perceived as having regained ground that we took back from them some years back when you and I first got started. But, hey, listen, Connie, we're up against a short break. Can you hang on through the break? I want to finish this conversation with you right after that break. Is that good with you?
Absolutely. I'm glad to be with you.
Okay. All right. Yaffe, go ahead and move us towards the break, man. And we'll take this break and come back with State Representative Connie Rowe, who is serving in the State House of Representatives, talking about the upcoming legislative session, what kind of things we may or may not see, and whether there's a platform or agenda that we can count on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We will be right back. Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, I'm going back to the phones right now with State Representative Connie Rowe from House District 13 over in the Jasper area. And Connie's been on the phone with us the last few minutes here talking about the concept of having a platform, you know, in the legislature and whether or not there's certain things that conservatives have polled very high on that could or could not happen in the legislature. So Representative Rowe, let me go back to the question of school choice for a minute. We got some major school choice proponents in the legislature, but the last few years have been pretty much the valley of dry bones when it comes to getting school choice legislation through a Republican majority, even though Donald Trump says that the school choice is literally the civil rights issue of our lifetime. Do you see anything? I mean, is there nothing like just something simple like level funding of charter schools that could come through this session?
Well, I'll tell you what I think the issue is. For example, I have Walker and Blount County in my district, and neither one of those districts would be impacted by charter schools. Therefore, it's not something my constituency is interested in. It's not something they have any deep passions about. In fact, in both counties that I have, which is Walker and Blount, education is the largest employer And those teachers, principals, school board officials are all very involved publicly, civically, and in politics. So you don't have anyone at home, and sometimes people at home have bad information on school choice. So until you feel it from home, it's really hard to transfer it down to Montgomery. At least it has been for me historically.
Well, they can feel that we're number 50 in the nation, I guess, though, can't they? I mean, we're number 50. I mean, how much do they have to feel on that?
Well, you know, I think it has to do with what's in front of you, what matters to you, what's active in your community. And for most folks, and I shouldn't say this, I can just speak to my district. School choice is not anything that I ever have a phone call about, have somebody stop me in the grocery store and want to talk about. Very few articles in local news that regard school choice. And I think I'm not saying school choice is good, school choice is bad. I'm just kind of telling you what I think my analysis problem is. Until there's an education program that's broad enough and strong enough that folks recognize, even if school choice is not something that impacts their area, it is a broad and overreaching issue statewide, nationwide. And so I think it has to do with education. Back in 2014, when the younger Bush from Florida, whose first name I believe is Jed or Jeb, I'm not sure, when he was running, was very much a school choice proponent. There was a huge educational push, and you had more support for school choice during that period of time. Education for legislators, education for community leaders. I think that's missing right now. They step that up, I think that there's a loss of interest in the topic.
I think you're onto something. I think there has to be a public education piece attached to this. And I think we also have to see those bureaucrats who work in the education environment step aside and realize if we're going to be number 50 in the nation, that perhaps they should allow a more statesman-like view of education and it not be so district-tied. I mean, charter schools wouldn't impact my district either when I served in the Senate. But the reality is we've seen charter schools successful. We've seen the scholarship program successful. We've seen Florida raise itself up from being mediocre in school rankings to being one of the top in the nation because they've implemented things at a very distinct level. And we've seen some issues in Mississippi be cleared up in part because of school choice legislation they passed in the last few years. And now they're above us, and yet they spend less per child than us on their kids. So I think there's going to have to be a statesman-like attempt to make a change. And the education bureaucrats are not going to do it because they're controlled by the teachers union, and that's all there is to it. And, Connie, we got about a minute left, and I apologize for that. But let me ask you this. Do you see anything coming with House leadership changing for the Speaker of the House in this coming session?
Well, I believe that Speaker McCutcheon will serve out this term.
He's going to serve out his full term. Okay.
Of course, we have two folks in the House that serve in a leadership position who are already out, announced, and pursuing that.
Right.
This is what you've got to think about. 1 year from January, which is when the session begins, there will only be one person in a leadership meeting in the House of Representatives on Tuesday morning before we go into session than the group of people who will currently be there.
Hey, Connie, we're up against it. I want to thank you for being on with us. I got a break in 10 seconds, so I got to tell you, I appreciate you. Thank you for being on, and we'll talk again sometime real soon. You have a great day. State Representative Connie Rowe, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.